So this message today will be pointed to our maturity, our strength of God. How much, you know, I preach all the time, you can trust God, you can trust God, but there's a day that when we become mature enough to understand that probably our prayer is that God can trust us. He can trust us to carry the mail when there is no light. He can trust us to love people when it's unlovable, when he can trust us. And he can trust us in the middle of a pandemic to understand that God is still there. And so this is a time about, I hope, a timely message. It's out of the book of Esther. And Esther is a, I don't guess, any better illustration in all the world for a time like this. And so I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about maturing. I want to talk about growing up as a Christian. You know, as a parent, I send my children to school. I sit down and read to them. I would sit down and pray with them. I would sit down and go over math with them. My whole objective when my child came through life, they would mature. They would grow up to be adolescents, mature adolescents. They would grow up to be adults, mature adults. Because, see, if there's no maturity in life, it's a wasted life. They end up in a street somewhere, broke and stuck. Well, let me just take this thought. Think about the Christians who get saved. Usually their first year is an exciting year. Man, they're like magnets. They're like a sponge. They want to know and they want to connect. They want to meet new people. But then they kind of become used to the situation and there's no real purpose and discipline of discipling. And so if we would put this in comparison, wouldn't it be funny to go down to first grade and see a bunch of 60-year-olds sitting in first grade chairs? That's where we are as churches. We've been in church for 20, 30 years, and there's no maturity. We've never really been able to produce the light of the world in a dark world. And so our light is needed. So as we preached last Sunday night, but tonight I want to talk about how God matures, why God matures, and help us. Now, I'm not looking for you to come to church and just change our church with your maturity. I'm looking for you to change your family with maturity. I'm asking you to think about your children, your parents, your connected family. I'm thinking about just where you live. And so, I know that when we do it where we live, it'll come to church. But we're trying to do it from the inside out. We're trying to get it at church and take it home. I want you to have it home and bring it to church. That's a mature Christian. Because your first responsibility and my first responsibility is our family. It doesn't make any difference how much money I make. If I become the president of a great corporation, if my children are not mature and cannot handle life, man, I'm a loser. I'm a failure. And so I pray that we become mature enough that in the storms of life, God can count on us. Your children can count on you. Your wife, your husband. It's maturity that makes a difference because far too many of us are so immature. I was at a service the other night preaching outside to a group of people. It was phenomenal. And I come across a man, his son plays professional football for New York Giants. And so I asked him how he was doing this year. He says, man, he's playing hurt. I said, does he play hurt very often? He says, yeah, he plays hurt. It's about everybody on that team plays hurt. And here's what I thought. A football player will get out there on a Sunday and play hurt and give the best. Get a Christian hurt. They quit. Get a Christian backwards. They stop. There's no maturity. That athlete has trained its body, has trained its mind to work through a hurt. We as Christians, we cave at a hurt. We stop. We get mad. We quit. We go home. We don't like the preacher. We don't like the songs. We're just like five-year-olds sitting in big people's seats. And so I want this message today to help me and to help you. I'm like the old black preacher. I get to eat while I'm cooking. And sometimes we need that. I need that. As I begin to preach, God just shares things with me that helps me to help you. And so let's talk about maturity for a few moments. God expects his children mature in faith. He expects us to grow our faith that we can become mature believers in Christ. Faith is not living by sight. Faith is just trusting a God that you can't even see so you can have the family he wants you to have in a special way. Christians have a hard time maturing in their faith. See, the only way I know to bring maturity to my children was discipline. Discipline's a big part of it. You know, discipline is what God uses to mature us. And we don't like discipline. Hebrews chapter 12 is a whole chapter about how God disciplines his children, and that as a father disciplines his children, the Heavenly Father would discipline our children all together. And so discipline is a difficult time, but it's a time to make us mature. It grows us. But we're so insecure or immature that we resist discipline. We just walk away from it and discipling all that God wants us to have. So to build a disciple, it takes a lot of discipline to do that. And our God's up to it. Hebrews chapter 12 says he'll chasten, rebuke, or scourge. Whatever it takes, he'll get you out of first grade. Whatever it takes, he wants to mature you. He wants you to be light in this dark world. He wants you to be answers for the questions that are before us through the power of the Holy Spirit. As we talk about maturity, Webster says maturity is it's a full deployment, development. It's when the loan comes due, it's mature. Let me share this with you. In America, the church is due to show the love of God, the power of God, and the peace of God to our world. Mature is when the bill is due, and today it's time for us to wake up. We're in a storm America has never seen, the world has never seen, and we need maturity to do this because it's due. God's asking his church to be light and stand when everything else is caving in. Don't quit. Don't stop. Man, be like Paul. Be like Saul. I mean, just do what it was. Read the book of Acts. I'm reading it continually. Man, persecution comes, but boy, through persecution, growth happens. But it takes maturity. The bill is due. It's when a note comes due. We need to pay for it. And God wants the Christians today in America and around the world that he needs to count on us to love, to care, to pray. You know, we're always asking God for a vaccine. You know, I don't know if God's going to use a vaccine to fix this problem or not. I'm not going to tell God how to do it. Science is telling me that's what we need. And common sense tells us what we need. But remember, faith is radical. Faith doesn't make sense. Faith doesn't make sense that a Red Sea will part. Faith doesn't make sense that you can walk on water. And so radical faith, however God chooses to do this, is fine with me. I'm not here to tell God how to do it. I do that enough. That's my immaturity. I've got to learn to trust God what I can't see. And I don't need to tell him how to do it. In our world today, it's all about the science so we can get over this. Man, that is so crazy. That is so immature. It's about our God so we can get over this. It's about our prayer so we can get over this. It's about our fasting to get over this. And we don't even know what that means to get over this. We're waiting for a vaccine. We're waiting for science to do something. How about asking God and trusting God? Now, it may be through a vaccine. I don't know. But it must hurt him to think that we're asking for everything but him in a time of a crisis at our church. Growing and maturing in our faith. America is overdue. This land that we have trusted God and God we trust has walked far away from him. And we have to mature Christians. Let me tell you something. If you're not a full mature Christian, your flesh will always trump what you know. Your flesh will take over if you're not mature. Because see, my flesh wants it my way. My flesh wants it the easy way. My flesh wants it to go away. A mature Christian won't let the flesh get in the way. You can deny yourself and take up a cross and follow you. That's what that means. You deny your flesh. You deny it's the easy way out. God, if I got to walk in the fire, I'll walk in the fire. That's maturity. That's trusting God through the storms of our life. And we just can't count on many Christians with that kind of faith today. We just can't. They get hurt. They just want to quit. They go home. Or they get scared and they want to stop. We need to know that discipline is really important for our maturity of discipleship. Let me tell you something. When God disciplines us, we always feel forsaken. I want to help you that. When discipline comes in our life, we feel like we've been forsaken. But discipline, God will never forsake his children. He will mature us children, taking us through the fire. So see, even though it seems like God is far, maturity is, God is allowing that to come so he can be bigger than he's ever been. Because it takes that maturity to see how God moved. There's never been a great blessing in my life that God didn't do it. I can't make my blessings. I can't make enough money. I can't preach enough. I cannot study enough. It's God. It's not me. That's a mature Christian. To trust totally God, even when you can't see it, just knowing there's something in your heart that's got to move forward. Even though the world says stop, even though the world says you can't, my God just come to overcome that. And that's what we've done, and across America, we've just stopped knowing we don't want to be bullied. We don't want to be laughed at. We don't want to be put down. Read the book of Acts. Just keep reading that book of Acts. They never thought about that. They thought about the price is worth it. And so, I don't know, but he'll never forsake us. He'll always be with us. He'll never leave us, but he'll allow us to go through the storms. Maybe in a pandemic, or maybe in cancer, or maybe in a loss of job, or maybe in a child's problem. You feel like you've been forsaken. A mature Christian knows that your God has never left you. Just because you can't feel it, you got a faith to believe it, to change your life. Anything sufficient in my life, God's done. God's done it. He is the results of all the activity in my life, and he wants more activity so we can do big things for God. That's what the message is all about. How to do big things for God when it's really, really tough, when it's really hard. So, sin causes us to lose blessings. I wonder how many blessings that you've almost had in the fullness, and the sin of your flesh just jumped in there and you stopped immaturely in the middle of a stream and you lost a lot. I've lost a lot, and so have you, from being immature instead of continue the course, continue the fight that God has for us. See, light and darkness don't mix. Darkness will always overtake light if you turn it off. You keep the light on, light will always push darkness out. It'll push it out. But it takes that light of the world to be part of that. Today's scripture, we'll take you a story about Esther. We'll learn about how this lady God used to save a nation, to save the Jews, to change the world. One little bitty lady. Esther showed a lot of maturity. She did some big things. She took a chance in her life. She may have died through the story. I want you to see it. But the problem is, a godly man named Mordecai took a stand. Mordecai was a Jew living in a pagan world, hostile world. And Mordecai was trying to continue to live in the kingdom. And a guy named Haman, who hated God, hated Jews. Let me share with you. They're all over. They're a dime a dozen that want to stop everything that God does. It's like a cult. It's like the Mormons. Man, when you see the commercials about the Mormons and you see the commercial about how godly they are and how nice to take care of their people, let me tell you something. They are an antichrist, a small antichrist. They hate God. Jesus says you're either for me or against me. That's maturity. See, we want to think that we can all just live in one big umbrella and get along. You're either walking with him or you're not. And Haman was not with God. And he hated the Jews. And Mordecai, he studied the commandments. And the first commandment, there's only one God. And he never lost that. He was willing to die over that commandment. You know, I've been preaching the commandments. Are you willing to die over any of them? Mordecai was. He was willing to die over them. I'll not bow. Kill me. Then he got this little lady up there, Esther, beautiful Jewish girl. And guess what? She'd die too. See, that's doing big things for God. Could you do that? A better question for me, could I do that? Could we do that? Is this God so real in my life, in the storms of my life? I won't just do what I know. I will do what my faith leads me to do. And my faith hasn't taught me all I need to know yet, so I must walk in it, must experience it. This godly man takes a stand in chapter 3, verse 2. It says, and all the king's servants who were within the king's gate bowed, and they paid homage to Haman. Haman made a decree that you had to bow before this false god. For so the king had commanded concerning him, but Mordecai would not bow or pay homage. I will not bow. There's only one God, and I will not bow to a false god. I learned my Ten Commandments, Mordecai said, and I'll not do it. Then the king's servants who were within the king's gate said to Mordecai, why do you transgress the king's command? How it happened when you spoke to him daily and you would not listen to them, and they told you to Haman to see whether Mordecai's words would stand, or Mordecai had told them that he was a Jew. He was a Jew. It was kind of like a little, nobody knew that. You know what the problem is, maturity in America? We're Christians, and nobody knows that. We're Christians. The people at work don't even know that. The people you hang out with don't even know that. He said, I'm a Jew, and I'll honor Jehovah God, no other God. I hope the people at work, you're mature enough to know that you don't have to have a 151 bulb and go in there and be some godly saint and correct everybody and fix all that kind of stuff, but you're just a humble servant that loves these people, and you're a Christian. And Christians got it together. We have got God on our side. Who is greater than us than in the world? We're just Christians. Most of us are secret Christians. And may the love of Christ just stick out of you. You know what we call that? Light. Light. Light to a dark world. He said, I'm a Jew. And man, when old Haman found that, he really ticked him off. He didn't like any Jews. You know what Haman does? He said, I got an idea. I can take this guy, Mordecai, make an idiot out of him, and kill all the Jews. I just take all the Jews out. That's even better yet. That's what evil does. It always tries to overtake the God that you're serving. It always tries to get the God in your heart to be quieted and to be pushed back. I just cannot be pushed back when it's time to stand. And when I don't stand, I can't sleep. Because I know better. I know my God will discipline me to the point where I'll wonder where he is, but I'll always know he's there to do great things through my life. That's what he does. So the problem is, we can't even use the word Christian. In this pandemic, have you ever seen one commercial? Have you ever seen one announcement from one scientist, from any politician, ever mention God? Not one. Not one. And I've listened. I've listened so much, I don't even listen. I don't watch the news. I don't watch the debates. I stay away from it because it has affected me and God. It makes me mad all the time. But my God's going to take care of it. And nobody wants to mention Christians. But ladies and gentlemen, we are Christians. We're a little Christ. We've been born again. We have a Savior. And we got a leader that leads our hearts. And so, in chapter 4, when Mordecai learned all that he had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried out with a loud and bitter cry. Who went as far as the square in front of the king's gate? For no one might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. Mordecai was so broken, he was ready to break down the gate to go see the king. And you walk in to see the king unannounced, you could die. He says, I can't go in there. He says, I've got sackcloth and ashes. I'm broken. I'm a Jew. But man, I'd like to present my case to the king. Present your case to the boss. Present your case to your family. Present your case wherever it may be that my God is driving me. And in every province where the king's commandment decree arrived, there was a great mourning among the Jews and fasting, weeping and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes because the decree was out. All the Jews were going to die because this Mordecai guy brought up this God stuff and we wasn't going to bow down. And he's right, but he's going to get us killed. What kind of guy is that? Well, that's a guy you want on your side. That's a guy that's being disciplined by God. It almost seems like he's been forsaken, but he's not. You know why? God never forsakes his children. I remember some days in a jail in Africa and Zimbabwe. Well, I felt so lonely. I felt, God, why in the world has happened to me? Come a long way, God. I'm not trying to stir up anything. I'm just trying to help these people. And I just waited on God. And I knew I was right. I knew I didn't do anything wrong, but they made me feel I was wrong. They made me feel I was a bad guy. When they took my team away from me, my team prayed, Ron, stay strong. We need you. We got to get out of this town. We got to make it. And I knew that God was there in that little place in Africa for me. I didn't like it. I was asking questions, but I wouldn't bow. And my God delivered. Man, did he deliver. Only when you're tested do you know how big he is. Only when you've tried him, when everybody else says you're wrong. This is what Mordecai, he was a man of God. And nothing could stop him. And all the Jews in the whole area is now crying out, praying and fasting. See how it's working? See how it's working? They're praying now. They're fasting now. They're getting close to God now. See, God could have used this. The devil could have used it to tore them up. But you know what God did? He made them stronger. He made them love him more. He made them stand up for him. And you know how proud God was of his children to stand up for him, even if they would die? He said, that's my people. That's my people. They haven't seen nothing yet. I'm going to take care of this. See, doing big things for God always puts us in positions to cause problems and hurts into our lives. In chapter 4, verse 8, he also gave a copy of the written decree from the destruction that was given to Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, that he might command her to go to the king and to make supplication to him and plead before him for the people. So Mordecai is kind of getting a note to the way through this with Esther, this little princess of the king. He had many of them. She's beautiful. It's amazing. It's a story of how they got there. This goes on before this chapter starts. But she's up there. She's the king. He said, I'm going to get that little Esther. I'm going to go in there and let her get a word with the king. But it's kind of dangerous. Because if you go before the king and you haven't been asked to go, he could do this up or down. You could die. Kind of a weird law, but that's the way the king worked. And you know what Mordecai's asked her to do? To do something bigger than big. Has God ever sent somebody to your house to ask you to do something bigger than big? Well, God sent this little princess a note. Man, you got to get to the king. You got to tell the king, we need you today. And little Miss Esther, I'm living in the palace. I'm not taking advantage of all this. This Lester was a Jew too. She knew the commandments too. And so in the process of all that, verse 11, and the king's servants and the people of the king's province knew that any man or woman who goes in the inner court of the king, not been called, he'd been put on a law, put all to death except the one whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that you may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king's these 30 days. Esther said, now this could have been nice if he would have called me in. God, why didn't you set that up? Why didn't you kind of pregnate him to call me in? Well, he just wanted you to show the king how big you are, how good you are. See, he wasn't mad at Esther. It's impossible to please God with faith, and underline impossible. Faith is what you can't see and figure out. It's what the world tells you you shouldn't do, but God says you got to do it. That's what faith is. And so Esther says, well, I can go in there. And verse 13, then Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all other Jews. If you blow this, you're going to die with us. that's motivation. You're going to die with us. Don't think. I love this verse 14. You got to hang it on your refrigerator. If you remain completely silent this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. If you don't do Esther, got to need somebody else to do it. You're going to miss the biggest blessing in your life. Remember that. God is not dependent upon you. God just wants to mature you. If you don't do it, Esther, God will find somebody else to do it. But this is your blessing. This is your day. This is your time. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. When you sit in the pew Sunday, have you ever thought that I'm here in this church for a time of this to do great things for you, for the kingdom of God, to be a teacher, to be a discipler, to be a student, come to mature yourself, to be disciplined? It's a time like this. Let me tell you something. Churches across America, we need to sit in our pews when everybody's degrading God, won't even bring him up, denouncing him. It's now all about science. It's all about now our intellect. It's all about this. And we've lost God. At a time like this, when can we stand up and say, we're going to serve our God? We're going to pay the price. We're going to take the chance. I'm not going to lose my blessing today. I want God to bless me in a special way. See, God places people in churches as a pleasing him because he knows that he's going to use you in that church to do something big, to help somebody, to mature, to grow. So he placed you here with your gifts, with your blessings, with your potentials. You don't even know your potential. But God placed you here to do something big in your church. He placed you in your family to do something big in your family. God placed you here for something big. Chapter 4, verse 14. I just read that. For a time like this, God gives a chance. Now the plan. Verse 15. Then Esther told them to return to an answer to Mordecai. Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go out to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. You know, we can't do anything around here that breaks the law. We'll be lawbreakers. But the world has laws that sometimes we got to break because they're not God's ways. He said, so here's what's happening. Do you see this? These Jews were just living out there in their house, in their little gardens, and they're just doing their life, and they're not really doing anything bad. They're just not doing anything good or big. And now, you know what? This little girl Esther says, I'll tell you what, guys and gals, I'm going to do that, but I won't do that until you fast and pray. I'll fast and pray. I will ask God to bring favor. I will fast. I will trust prayer to move mountains. I will trust God to build kingdoms. But we got to fast and pray. Are you into that? Are you into that? Is that your way out through a storm? Or do you keep watching the news and finding more science and finding some help or maybe a vaccine? The world, this must break God's heart. The whole world is waiting for a vaccine so we can live again. But God says, I'm here. You can live now. I just need you to stand for me and pray and fast, so I can bring healing to the world, and the world will know it's God and not a scientist. It's God and no one else. It's only him. I pray that God will use somebody to do a vaccine. But I want God to get the glory, don't you? I want to be praying to God to get through this. And I'm not going to tell God how to do it. I'm saying Moses was saying, now God, here's all them Egyptian guys coming to kill us. God, if it would be okay, why don't you just part that water so we can walk over? I don't think Moses thought about that. I don't think Moses knew that. Moses didn't realize that. And I don't realize how God can do this. See, I'm always trying to tell God how I think needs to be done. A mature person will fast and pray and then let God be God. That's maturity. That's exactly what happened in the story. They fasted and they prayed. The days went by. If I perish, I perish. And so that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stuff. You know, even if God doesn't show up, if I die, I die, but he's still God. But I'm going to take a stand to die for him. I'm not going to be a sissy and walk away from the threat of a world. The results to escape, to execute, it all comes about in chapter 5, verse 2. So it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that she had found favor in his sight. And the king held out the Esther, the golden sepulcher that was in his hand. And Esther went near and touched the top of the sepulcher. Wow. That's a great place to be. Doing exactly what God asked you to do, and you get to be blessed. She touched the top of that sepulcher with the king. She was blessed all over. You know why? Because God made that work. Because she didn't ask him to pray about the king to change his mind. She asked him to pray to God to favor her in front of the king. It was God's blessing. It wasn't the king. It was God. She's standing there ready to roll now. It was a great day. The Jews are about to be saved. Not only that, I can preach this all day long, but I just need to move forward. I want to get to verse 7, chapter 7, verse 10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that was prepared for Mordecai. And the king's wrath was subsided. Haman is hanging on that noose. Many times in the world we live in, evil doesn't hang on a noose. It just keeps flourishing because we as Christians don't know how to fast and pray and test God. But Mordecai and a little girl changed the whole world that day because of faith, because of God. They were mature. Wouldn't you like to have a Mordecai in your church? Wouldn't you like to have an Esther in your church? Wouldn't you like to be a Mordecai? Wouldn't you like to be an Esther? The only thing stopping us is us. That's all. It's 2020 today. We got a lot of technology, but it still takes God. And I don't care how smart we come. Let me tell you something. It takes God plus nothing. Mordecai was a zero. Esther was a pretty girl, but she was a Jew in a king's palace. And see what God did in their lives. So I encourage you, at your house, in your family, raising teenagers, can God count on you to do the right thing? At your house, can you, for a time like this, you're there. Don't quit disciplining your children. Don't give up. Don't go out and just start making money and working 60 hours a week like you're doing something. You're running from your big problem. The biggest problem is you won't trust God, and your children know it. They'll figure it out. They'll pay for it. You can bring your children up to be the blessing of the town because of God. Not your money or not your position, but God. That's our choice, doing something big for God. If this isn't a timely message today, I don't know when it is. And may God use it. And may God bless me to be the person to stand in the midst of all the chaos, because my God is still God. Thank you for listening. May your maturity be real. Play hurt. Don't quit. Let's pray. Let's fast. Let's think about God more than ever, because God's our way out of this. Let me pray for you. Father, we need maturity. I need maturity. Father, we're also empty at times, or confused at times, or feel like weak at times. But God, you're our Savior. How can we get like that with a Savior like you? You do something within us to bring about your glory through us so the world can see you and never think about us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.